Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59. Now, I'm going to be reading a good bit of scripture this morning. And if you've ever heard me read, you know you need to look at your Bible when I read. For 2 days now, I've been seeing everything double, which is a blessing when you do your checkbook, praise God, them $10, unless you're deducting. If you're adding, it works out better. But I want to read a lot of scripture. And then I'm going to bring you a brief message. And let me tell you where we are in Bible history. Isaiah has gone through and he has given messages to Israel about the captivity. They're taken into captivity for 70 years. He's prophesied the return from the captivity after 70 years. God's going to raise up the Persian Empire. And he even names the leader of the Persian Empire. And King Cyrus is going to decree and let them go back into the land. They're going to come back under Zerubbabel and a man by the name of Ezra and then Nehemiah, and they're going to rebuild the temple. They're going to reinstitute worship. Nehemiah will lead the rebuilding of the wall, and they are sanctify themselves, and they'll remain in the land until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and then things are going to take place. I'm going to share a little bit of that with you in a moment. But now Isaiah is looking. He's looked to current events. He's looked to the prophecy of the coming of our Lord Jesus, or the deliverance of Israel under King Cyrus. He's in Isaiah 53. He prophesied the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, the one who opened not his mouth, but was led as a sheep to the slaughter, who looked down time, and his heart was satisfied when he saw what he was going to do on the cross. And now he's jumped even further ahead until the time of the glorification of the nation of Israel. God's not through with Israel. Everybody say amen. Amen. God's still dealing with Israel. There are a lot of people today who said God's through with Israel and all the promise of Israel now roll over into the church. That's not so. God's still dealing with Israel. This day I'm reading you still in the future. It's coming, but I believe it's closer than it's ever been. It's not going to be long. Now watch the story. And I pick up the reading, if you will, please, in chapter number 59. And look with me, please, at verse 12. Verse 12. I'll make just a simple comment as I go along. And then I want to bring the message in just a few minutes on Israel and the glory of God. Look at it here in chapter 59. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In trespassing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. The judgment is turned away backward and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street. Iniquity cannot enter. Yea, truth failed. He that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Now, the prophet is confessing for the nation of Israel what's happened and what's going to happen and what's going on. And here they stand in that predicament. What are they going to do? Everything's failed. All the pleading of God, all the preaching of the prophets, all of his commands, all of his instruction about the tabernacle and the temple, everything's failed. And now truth's fallen in the street. What are they going to do? How are they going to get back? They've proven over and over again that they can't be faithful to God. They've proven over and over again that they cannot resist the temptation to sin. They've proved over and over again that the flesh failed them. What are they going to do? What will God do with this nation of Israel? He said in verse 16, and he saw and there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as the breastplate and the helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he clad with the zeal of a cloak. According to their deeds, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the isles will he repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Now he's looking down through time. What's been repeated over and over again in kind of little mini pictures throughout all of history is going to culminate when all the nations of the earth come against little Israel and they can't help. There's nobody to stand with them. America's not going to stand with them any longer. And all these other people, out the countries of the world, are going to turn against them. What's little Israel going to do in that time? What's going to happen? Well, it's not Israel, but it's the Lord. And he said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he said, God's going to raise up a standard against them. Watch. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from the transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, he's speaking to Isaiah, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. He said, here's the deal. He said, I'm making a covenant. He said, I'm making the deal. And listen, it's not you do your part and God does his part. God's going to do his part. That's going to take care of it. And they've proven over and over again that they are not able to do that. How's he going to redeem little Israel? Look at verse number 1 of chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Dark days ahead for Israel. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It is the tribulation period. It's the time when all the nations of earth turn against Israel. It's the time of the rise of Antichrist. It's the time of blood flowing in the streets up to the horse's bridle in the Battle of Armageddon. But he says this is going to happen to him. He said, I'm going to intervene. And he said, my glory will be seen in thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings of the brightness thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. The sun shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitudes of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephraim, all they of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord. All these people who have come at one time to destroy Israel now come to Jerusalem for to worship the king and to give praise even to the little nation of Israel. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The arms of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up in acceptance of mine altar, and I will glorify the house of thy glory, of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves of the window? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentile, and their kings may be brought. For the nations and the king, for the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree and the pine tree and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come and bend unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves at the sole of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt suck the milk of the Gentiles. Thou shalt suck the breast of the kings. Thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will give you gold. And for iron, I'll give you silver. And for wood, brass. And for stone, iron. I will also make thy officers peace and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in the land, wasted nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and the glory of thy God. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ending. No more mourning, no more sadness for Israel. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting and the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. Will you pray with me just briefly? Heavenly Father, I ask now the Holy Ghost of God, our Father, would speak to our hearts here. This great group of people here, predominantly Gentile, and those in the radio audience, our Father, predominantly Gentile. I pray, God, that we would learn a lesson and we'd see the great God of Israel. And Lord, the one who sent His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He loved the whole world. He died that we might be saved, that we might have everlasting life. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving us. Thank You, our Father, that we who are Gentiles were not a second fault with You, that God, You loved us before the foundation of the world, that God, You had a plan. And our Father, help us to look beyond what we see in the stock market. Help us to look beyond what we see on CNN, Fox News. Help us to look beyond what we see to be political change and chaos. And help us to understand that there's a great God who's orchestrated all of this according to Your perfect will and plan. And that, our Father, there's a day coming, our Father, when Israel will once again experience the glory of God, and those of us who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb shall be the bride of Christ. God, I pray, God, You'd speak to hearts now. We'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen quickly this morning. I want to kind of get you to understand the picture of what's going on. This week, Brother Roy Rigdon in the camp meeting will preach 3 mornings on Bible prophecy. And I've gone over some of this before, but please listen to me. God created the heavens and earth. If man formed and fashioned him out of the dust of the earth, breathing into his nostrils breath of life, man became a living soul. And God walked with him and talked with him. It's the intent of God to fellowship with His creation and with man in particular. Only man can worship God. Only man can sing the praise of God. Only man can experience the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fashioned great angels. And I hear people talking all the time about mama's going to be an angel. Mama ain't going to be no angel. I'll be honest with you. Mama's not going to be an angel. Angels are created beings. They are supernatural beings. God made them. But Jesus did not die for angels. He did not die for seraphims. He did not die for those created angelic beings. He died for man. He suffered and bled and died that we might be redeemed. And listen, there's coming a day when the angels will fold their wings and they'll stand in total silence and they'll be amazed that God would reach down and take that pile of dirt, make a man out of it, and see that dirt curse him to his face. See that dirt trample the Word of God under their feet, and see Him take His own darling Son, hang Him on a cross, suffer and bleed and die to redeem that fallen man. Angels can't comprehend that. They can't understand that. They don't understand why that God could so love those creatures when some of them kept not their first estate. They were consigned to a pit to be released during the tribulation period. Why was it that God would show mercy and grace? I can't explain it to you. All I can do is sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. If you ever understand it, you won't understand it. If you ever experience it, you can't explain it. But my dear friend, if you've ever felt it, you won't deny it, that God's grace is sufficient and He'll save you, give you everlasting life. He made man, created man. Man rebelled against God almost from the get-go. And Adam disobeyed God. Going through the book of Genesis, and you see how that God said, all flesh is corrupted before me, every thought, imagination, only evil continually. And God spoke to one man, Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God told him how to build the ark. God sent the flood, destroyed everything. in whose nostrils was a breath of life, except for Noah and his family. And then they failed God even after they came out of the ark. After God had delivered them, they still failed God. God called a man named Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he chose that man to be the father of the Jewish nation, Israel. That man's name was Abram, but God changed his name to Abraham, and he made him a promise, made him a covenant. He said, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And he said, those that will bless you, I'll bless them. And he became the father of the Jewish nations. Abraham had a son. And that son, the first son, God had promised him that he was going to give him a supernatural son. And Abraham got a little anxious about that. And his wife suggested that he would take Hagar, her handmaid, and conceive a child through her. And he did. And that child became Ishmael. And he fathered many of the Arab nations that have been a thorn in the flesh of Israel for all these years. There's animosity there in their genes. It's just there. And they have an animosity, an anti-Semitic feeling toward all the nation of Israel. They want to destroy them, wipe them off the face of the earth. And so God kept his promise, though. When Abraham was well in age, right at 100, God blessed him, and they had a boy born named Isaac. Isaac was that line through which Messiah was going to come, the line through which the Word of God was come, and that's the beginning of the Jewish nation. Isaac also had children, had two boys, two twin boys. One of them was named Esau, and one of them was named Jacob. And Jacob, my dear friend, had his name changed to Israel. But Esau despised his birthright. He was actually the oldest, and he sold it. And Jacob was a supplanter, a deceiver, and he got that birthright. Now, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. You remember that? And he is Israel. And that boy, that Jacob, fathered 12 boys. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. God had a plan. God was working it according to his plan. That's the nation of Israel. Those 12 tribes spread, and God blessed them. But everything that God did for them, they failed. I mean, they failed. They failed during that time of what we call innocency. They failed in the days of Abraham. They failed in the days of Isaac. They failed in the days of Jacob and all the tribes of Israel. They failed in the tabernacle worship. They failed everything God did for them. And God tried to point them toward Calvary. They failed. But listen, God made promises to them. He said, I've got a plan. And he said, I'm going to bring it all together. And so God brought them out of, Joseph went down into Egypt. And they went there and they multiplied. But after a while, the Bible said Joseph was dead and gone. And another king arose that knew not Joseph. And they began to, the Egyptians looked at him, and these people done spread and multiplied. And they said, they're going to take over our country. And so they began to try to kill all the Jewish babies. You remember the story, how that Moses' mother hid him in God's divine plan. And God heard the cries of Israel, and he sent Moses, and Moses brought them out. And they were going to go into the promised land. But let's think about this, been in bondage all these years. Under the leadership of Moses, they come out, saw great things happen, and saw the Red Sea open, all those things. But my dear friend, they rebelled against God, wouldn't go into the promised land. And so for 40 years, they had to wander in the wilderness. Then God raised up a man by the name of Joshua, and Joshua led them across that river into the promised land. In the promised land, they went through a period of what's called the judges. And as Israel, they would worship God, serve God, and thank God for the crops and thank God for everything. But then they drift away from God. Their hearts would get cold, get back out in the world. They begin to worship idols. And a series of 13 different times, God heard their cry. He sent deliverers, right, and delivered them. And they'd serve God for a short period of time. Then they'd drift back out. God would have to chase them again. They'd repent. God would send a deliverer. But over and over again, 13 times, they proved they couldn't do it. 13 times they proved that they could not be faithful to God. And if it depended on them, it never would work. That's why God has made an eternal covenant with Israel. He's made that promise to Israel. And so they come down to the period of the prophets. And God sends the prophets and the period of the kings. And king after king, they'd have a good king, they'd have a bad king. Good king, bad king, kingdom divided. And so God pleaded with them through the prophets. They'd have a little time of revival. They'd backslide on God. have a little time of revival. They backslide on God. And God said, I'll tell you what's going to happen. He said, the day is coming that you'll go into captivity for 70 years. And that's going to happen. And sure enough, it did. And then God brought King Cyrus. But we've come now to the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah's looking down through time. And he said, this thing's happened over and over again, over and over again. And the Redeemer's coming. There's a plan. I've got a plan. A plan that God to redeem fallen man. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed him in human flesh. He suffered and bled and died on that cross so we could be saved. But he's not through with Israel. He's not through with Israel. We're living in now what we call the dispensation of grace. The gospel is to go to all the world. And that's the good news. That while all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on that tree. And he died that we might have life. And that now if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. But God's still working in Israel. When Jesus Christ came, the Bible said he came into his own. Here's the nation of Israel. They've come out of captivity, been out of captivity for some 400 years. But they've still not been faithful to God. They've not gone back into deep idolatry. But they've taken and made their own traditions. They've got the ordinance of God, but then they've added to that the ordinance of man. Got it all muddled up. And it's still to them a salvation by works that never does work. And so Jesus Christ comes and he said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to thy mercy, God save you. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the Bible said that they rejected him. He came into his own received him not, and they rejected him. And when they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friend, they took him and crucified him. But that was all in God's plan. They nailed him to the cross. He was buried and rose again, and he's alive forevermore. He's not through with Israel. He's not through with the house of Jacob. He still has a plan. What's going on right now is that the gospel's preached around the world, Jew and Gentile. People can be saved, born again by the grace of God. And what's happening now is he's calling out a bride and cram this world. But listen, when Jesus Christ came, he was crucified. He warned them. He said, there's not one stone of that temple going to be left standing. And that's what happened in 70 AD. The Roman Empire came in and they had already dominated the country, but they dismantled the temple. They exiled the Jews and they were scattered across the world from the time of Jesus, 70 AD, until 1948. In 1948, God picks back up in this program that we were just reading about now. He brought back sons and daughters. And who are these that come in like clouds into the land? Boy, they're coming back into the land. And God, in May of 1948, that Jewish flag was raised over the city of Jerusalem. All they encompassed about with enemies all around. And let me tell you something. Jimmy Carter tried his best to negotiate peace in the Middle East between Israel and all of their Arab nations. It didn't work. I was a supporter of Ronald Reagan, but Ronald Reagan and all that did could not bring peace to the Middle East. George Sr., George Jr., George W., whatever, they couldn't bring peace to the Middle East. And now we've got a unique situation for the first time in history. We have a president who leans more toward the Arab world than does to the Jewish world. But I've got news for you. That diplomacy is not going to work either. It's not going to come. No peace is coming that away. There's only one peace, and that's what he said. He said there's only one thing. When the Redeemer comes back to Jerusalem, and when he comes back, he's not through with Israel. He's not through with them. They are in a situation right now. There's coming darkness and night and there that's prophesied this passage of Scripture. And he said, but I'm coming back. And he said, the Redeemer will return to glory. Here's what's going to happen. At any moment, right now, it could happen today. The Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is coming to rapture the church, and it could be this day. It could be before this day's out. Everybody who's been blood washed in the blood, would leave this room and we'd be gone. And if you're not saved, you'd be still sitting here. And then begins what's called the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period, lasts a period of 7 years on this earth. It's when God begins once again to deal in a very particular way with the nation of Israel. That 144,000 in the book of Revelation are out of every tribe of Israel. No, they're not a cult. They are Jews, and they have an appointed purpose to carry the gospel and preach the gospel of the kingdom around the world. But listen, what's going to happen? Antichrist wants to destroy every vestige, everything that honors God. And Israel has been a thorn in his flesh all these years. He's tried every way in the world to annihilate them. He's tried every way in the world to get them off the scene. He's raised up Hitler. And he's raised up Mussolini. He's raised up the Muslims. He's done all that he could to destroy Israel. Because if he can destroy Israel, he can break the promise of God. And God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. He said, an everlasting covenant. They'll do everything in the world they can to defeat you, destroy you. But here they stand right in the middle of Arab country, right in the middle, little nation of Israel. Man, listen, you could wipe them off the face of the earth. I mean, there's nothing there. But while they're there, it has nothing to do with their intellect. It has nothing to do with their abilities. It has to do with the promise of God. They're there because God put them there. They're there because God kept his word. And if God's keeping his word to Israel, he'll keep his word to you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved. If the devil could destroy Israel, he could break the covenant, the promise of God, but he's never done it. He ain't going to do it yet. Praise God. During the tribulation period, all hell's going to be broke loose. All hell broke loose. Listen, Job, God's man. I've been reading about Job, and the Bible said the devil came, and he said, where you been, devil? And he said, I've been going to and through the earth. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, oh, yeah, but he just serves you because you got a hedge around him. He just loves you because you had a hedge around him. He said, no, he doesn't. He said, I'll take the hedge down. And said, you can take everything he's got. And Lord, the devil did that. He came and took all of his possessions, took all of his livelihood, took all of his livestock, and even killed all his children. And then he took his health, everything. God let him take everything he had. And Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I'm going to trust him. Though he slay me, yet I trust him. God kept his word to Job. God promised he's done the same thing to Israel over time. Boy, listen, everything in the world's come against them, and they're still there. Is it because they're good people? No. Is it because they're faithful to God? No. Why is it? It's because we got a great God who's able to keep his promises. And he said, I will be glorified in thee. That's why they're still there. That's why there's coming a day that when he during the tribulation period, and he said, only the spirit that now hinders or lets, he said, till I take him out of the way. There's coming a time that protective hedge that he's got around Israel, he's going to pull back. Boy, listen, all the nations of the earth have come against that little nation. Such horrible, hideous things you've never seen. Rivers running with blood. Seas turned to blood. All of those things are going to happen. And they're going to come as one mighty army against little Israel to destroy them. They don't have hope. There's no hope. There's no hope. But in the book of Zechariah, he said, but in that day, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel. They'll look on him whom they pierced as upon a son. They'll see their Redeemer, and they'll understand that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. He was the Messiah, and a nation will be born in a day, and God's going to deliver little Israel in what's called the Great Battle of Armageddon. God's going to do that, and the day's coming. When, listen, you and I who are born by the blood, washed in the blood, we'll have that new Jerusalem, praise God, 1,500 miles. I was trying to tell one of the grandchildren about the other day, 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles that way, 1,500 miles up. And praise God, we'll be loving the Lord, worshiping him. But I got news for you, in that new heaven and new earth, the Jews, the earth is the Lord's, but he's got that little nation of Israel. And for all eternity, there be there. Little Israel, and God's kept his word through all these years. He said, I'm going to be glorified in you. I'm going to be glorified in you. Listen, and he said this. He said, look at verse 21 and 22, and I'm through. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Israel's not going to get into glory. You and I are not going to get into glory on the other side. We'll sing that song that we're there because of the shed blood. That, Brother Avery, I love the old song called My Plea. My Plea. I've been looking at some of you. Boy, I get blessed. The choir sang this morning, and Brother Brad sang that wonderful song about the cross. I got news for you. The only reason you and I are going to be there is because of that cross, because of the shed blood. Oh, I love the old rugged cross. I thank God for it. Thank God for what he did for us. And he said, I'm going to get all the glory. God, get all the glory for what he did for Israel. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation, and I will hasten it in his time. God's got everything on time. Everything's right on time. Listen, I got news for you. Nothing you do, nothing I do is going to affect what's fixing to happen. I'm talking about so far as God's timetable. You and I ought to redeem the time. We ought to be busy about the master's business. But I got news for you. He knows exactly when Jesus is coming again. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with you. He's coming again. He knows when he's coming. He's got a set time. I don't care what you do. You can't say, hold it, wait, I'm not ready yet. You better get ready now. He's coming soon. He's working in a little Israel. He's not through with them. There's coming a day that, my dear friend, all the enemies of Israel will come and bow at their feet. And listen, if they won't bow, they're going to be annihilated. You won't be able to find them nowhere on a map in the millennial reign of Christ. They'll be gone forever, forever and ever. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Isaiah said, now look, here it is. Here's what's going to happen down the road. My dear friend, there it is in God's plan. God's plan. But can I tell you, all that comes about because of this statement here in chapter number 60. Look at it in verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. The Redeemer. Who is that Redeemer? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You're redeemed. How you're redeemed? Number one, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That word bought means purchased. Redeemed means to be purchased. And you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you're justified freely by His grace. Salvation's by the blood. Redemption's by the blood. But it's free. It's free to whosoever will may come. Now you sit there and look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Some of you waved your hands. Some of you wiped tears. Some of you rejoiced. But a lot of you got a blank look on your face because you don't have a clue what's fixing to happen. I got news for you. Praise God. Look here. I want to show you something. My mama used to say to me, my wife don't like me to wake up. I don't wake up as good as I used to. But son, when I wake up, I'm wide open. I can't hardly wait to go to bed at night so I can wake up. I love getting up. Praise God. I get up for singing. And Andrew then spent night with us last couple of nights. And I got up one morning. He said, I saw you over rubbing your arm. I said, my arm killed me all night long. Got up one morning and my eyes was bothering me. I couldn't see. And everything. He said, you must be getting old or something. And I said, that's the joy of getting old. Wake up and see what's hurting. And thank God. But listen, I have for years woke up and I'm ready to go and I'm happy. I'm happy. Mama used to wake me up and she'd shake me. And here's what she'd say. She'd say, rise and shine, rise and shine. I didn't know where my mama got that. That might be an old saying. But here in your Bible, did you see it? Look at chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Boy, I've got news for you. I'm glad I'm redeemed. I'm not a Jew, but I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I got to if a Jew can shout, I can shout. Praise God. I want to rejoice. I want to rise and shine for the glory of God's on us. Hey, don't despair. Praise God. What's going to happen to the economy? It's going to collapse. Promise you. What's going to happen in the world? It's going to burn up with a fervent heat. Hey, so don't worry about it. It's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. If you already know what's going to happen, praise God, there's something better on the other side. God's got a plan for me and you. Just arise and shine. Redeem the time. Live for Jesus. Camp meeting's coming. We're going to have a great time this week. I want to ask you a question. How many of you this morning can say this beyond any shadow of doubt? When the world falls apart, the world's on fire, I'll be living in glory land because I've been redeemed by the blood. Thank God for that. I'm glad of that. Hallelujah. If you can't say that this morning, you ought to get saved. Here's the way I want us to close the service this morning. I want you to stand with me, everybody all over the building, bow your head. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Sometime I got something in my heart that I can't get out of my mouth. I'll just be honest with you. I tell you right now, he said, I'm going to get glorified. Oh, listen, go through and look. You know what they did? You know what they did? They failed under Abraham. They sure did. They failed under Abraham. They failed under Noah. They failed under Isaac. They failed under Jacob. They failed miserably. They failed under every one of the kings. They failed under them. And as good as the prophets were, great as the preachers were, they failed to heed unto them. They couldn't do it. I got news for you. The answer is not a man. Not a man. It is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the Redeemer. And Isaiah said to him under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, arise and shine. The glory's coming. There's a Redeemer coming. He's coming to Zion. Praise God, one of these days, the King of Kings is going to walk through that eastern gate. Boy, listen, they used to sing that old song, the King is coming. I heard Brother Mac Evans sing that years ago up at Jerry Falwell's. I was up there for one of the super conferences. And son, I'm going to tell you, the King is coming. The King is coming. He's coming. Thank God he's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him?